Rule one, if we feel that we are honored by being asked to address an audience, let's say so. 19 days after Pearl Harbor, Winston Churchill addressed both houses of the United States Congress. He began by expressing his appreciation in the strongest words possible. "I feel greatly honored," he began, "that you should have thus invited me to enter the United States Senate chamber and address the representatives of both branches of Congress. The fact that my American forebears have, for so many generations, played their part in the life of the United States, and that here I am, an Englishman, welcomed in your midst, makes this experience one of the most moving and thrilling in my life. I wish indeed that my mother, whose memory I cherish across the veil of years, could have been here to see me. By the way, I cannot help reflecting that if my father had been American and my mother British, instead of the other way around, I might have got here on my own." Former Governor Thomas E. Dewey of New York won friends by opening his address before the Herald Tribune Forum with the words, "I consider it an honor to be the closing speaker at this forum," which was opened by one of the most distinguished Americans of our time, Mr. Bernard Baruch. Irvin S. Cobb certainly knew how to make the Irish like him and overwhelm him with applause. Cobb began his address before the American-Irish Historical Society with these heartwarming words, "Mr. President and ladies and gentlemen, I am speaking but the plain truth when I tell you I would rather be here tonight facing an assemblage of men and women of Irish blood and Irish breeding than to be in any other banquet hall on earth. For I am one who is Irish and didn't know it. But now that I do know it, I am prouder of that fact than of any one other thing on earth, except that I am an American citizen." Let me make this clear. Churchill, Dewey, and Cobb weren't merely mouthing polite words. They meant what they said. They were honored by being invited to make those addresses. As a matter of fact, it is almost always a compliment to be asked to speak before any group, no matter how small and unimportant the group may be. It is a matter of courtesy and good manners to acknowledge such a compliment. That is one way to make an audience like us. Rule 2. Let's give our listeners sincere appreciation. Chauncey M. Depew, railroad president, former United States Senator, and one of the most popular speakers America ever produced, declared that the best way to make our listeners like us is to tell them some complimentary fact about themselves that they didn't think we could possibly know. I knew a speaker who was a master at that sort of thing, the late Russell H. Conwell, the founder of Temple University, and probably the most famous lecturer of modern times. He delivered one lecture, Acres of Diamonds, over 6,000 times. That is equal to delivering it every night in the year for more than 16 years, a record never achieved before in the history of mankind. He told me how he varied his famous talk from night to night and tailored it to fit each audience. As soon as he arrived in a town where he was to lecture that night, he spent hours interviewing local men and women, learning about their histories, their accomplishments. During the course of his lecture that night, he made references to these local men and women who had found acres of diamonds in their own backyards. Dr. Conwell won the hearts of his listeners each night by giving them sincere appreciation of their accomplishments. That is what my friend Jennings Randolph did when he addressed a luncheon meeting of Alpha Lambda, a businesswoman sorority in Washington, D.C. My wife attended that meeting and told me about it. Jennings Randolph is an extremely busy man. He was assistant to the president of a major airline and former congressman from West Virginia. He is in great demand as a speaker. His schedule is crowded. But busy as he is, Mr. Randolph took the time to find out something about this women's organization before he appeared as its speaker. He began his talk by expressing his pleasure at being there. Then he mentioned certain things he knew about the sorority that were very much to its credit. He repeated complimentary remarks he had heard about it from businessmen. That audience was charmed by Mr. Randolph's sincere appreciation of their organization. They loved him for taking the pains